I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to a very special edition of It's Your Health. October was National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we were honored to be joined by Suzanne Summers, and I'm thrilled to say that she is with us again this morning to talk about her latest New York Times bestseller, Knockout, Interviews with Doctors Who Are Curing Cancer and How to Prevent Getting It in the First Place, and to answer some of your questions that you sent in via email. Now, in a multifaceted career that has spanned nearly three decades, Suzanne has achieved extraordinary success as an actress, singer, comedian, New York Times bestselling author, entrepreneur, and lecturer. Her book, Breakthrough, 8 Steps to Wellness, was an instant New York Times bestseller and remained on the list for 10 weeks, also appearing on the bestseller lists of USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, Entertainment Weekly, and Publishers Weekly. In her book, Knockout, Interviews with Doctors Who Are Curing Cancer and How to Prevent Getting It in the First Place, which came out October 20th and is already a New York Times bestseller, matter of fact, it'll be number one this Sunday, Suzanne authoritatively takes on a disease she's conquered herself, cancer. In Knockout, Suzanne, one of America's most informed and passionate healthcare advocates, shares groundbreaking and successful cancer prevention and care protocols, incorporating chemo-free options that are available now. Summers has stared cancer in the face, including a shattering scare last November involving a heart-rending misdiagnosis and deeply flawed medical regimen. Suzanne's interviews some of today's foremost Western-trained doctors and specialists who are using proven cutting-edge and innovative cancer treatments, therapies that build up the body rather than tear it down. Whichever care path you choose, Knockout is a must-have resource to navigate the life-and-death world of cancer and increase your odds of survival. Suzanne, welcome back to It's Your Health.
Good morning. So nice to be back.
Oh, I am so glad. I had such an amazing response. Everybody loves you, just like I said at the end of the last show. And I wanted to dedicate this show to a little girl named Abby Jans. She died from cancer a little before her 7th birthday in 2000. Now, she had 3 reoccurrences after lots of chemo and 30 radiation treatments, not to mention the many blood and platelet transfusions she endured. Her parents, Trevor and Jody Jans, are amazing people. And Suzanne, they want to say hello to you and thank you so very much for writing this book. And Trevor also told me, quote, Abby taught us so very much about strength, ambition, and faith while she was with us. And I also wanted to mention that Dr. Steve Hotze and Burton Goldberg say hello.
Great guys.
Yeah, Burton is coming on the show tomorrow, actually, from 9:05 to 9:30, and they will both have monthly segments on It's Your Health starting in February. So if you ever want to join them for their segments, or you are always welcome. My door is always open whenever you'd like.
Well, interesting you should say that. Burton is coming to my house for dinner.
Oh, really?
On Sunday night. I'm giving a party for all the doctors in my book, Knockout. So I'll discuss it with them.
Oh, my gosh, Suzanne. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so excited. That would be wonderful. Now,
well, I was thinking, sure. You know, bringing together all these doctors, they're all flying in from all over the world, and that around this dinner table, the 50 people sitting there, I really believe that in that group there is the answer to cancer. I really believe that. I think the courage of these professionals and doctors. I think their ability to step outside of the box and look back at the present protocol and say, there are certain cases where it's working. Mm-hmm. You know, chemo works for testicular, for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and some lymphomas and childhood leukemia and some adult leukemias. Outside of that, and it's not me saying this, the New York Times said this, that the war on cancer is a dismal failure. And so when I look at these men and women who are going to be at my home on Sunday night and the persecution that they've gone through, Dr. Brzezinski out of Houston, I mean, the FDA tried to put him in jail for 300 years until his over 5,000 cured patients marched in front of the Houston courthouse with placards saying, he saved my life, don't take away my medicines, he saved my baby. And the lawyer called these witnesses in, and he wasn't allowed to say, are you cured, or ask if they were cured, but he would simply say, you are diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. How long ago? 11 years ago, sir. Next one, 12 years ago, 18 years ago. So there's another way happening out there. And that's what I was trying to accomplish with Knockout, of being the filter, being the messenger, of bringing these people to mainstream, to my constituency, who might never have even thought that there are people out there having success, great success, in non-harsh, non-chemical ways. factoring in that no one, not in conventional orthodox alternative, no one has 100% success with cancer. But when you look at Dr. Brzezinski, who has completed phase two clinical trials in compliance with the FDA, the same FDA that tried to put him in jail for 300 years, and he was acquitted, and he's now been approved for phase three clinical trials. Now, if he completes phase three, he's got the cure. Well, it remains to be seen if they ever allow him to complete that. But he's having a 60% success rate with the worst type of brain tumors, the kind that just killed Ted Kennedy, glioblastoma and medulloblastoma. 60%, that those are death sentences. Nobody in the oncology world is able to make that claim. And then Dr. Gonzalez out of New York, right before we were on Larry King last week, I called him and I said, can you get me 10 names of 10 of your patients with stage 4 pancreatic cancer who've been on your protocol 10 years or longer? Within a half hour, he had 10 names for me and the phone number so I could call each one of them. Who's having that kind of success with pancreatic cancer? That's another death sentence. And he's doing it nutritionally, and I talk to these patients, and they're doing well. So that's what I'm trying to do, is you, in the end, you can choose whatever you want. And I do cover chemotherapy through the Scientific Advisory Board of Life Extension. I interviewed that panel, and how do we make chemotherapy, if we're going to have it, more effective, less harsh? That's in there. Integrative doctors, strictly alternative, and then Dr. Brzezinski with his anti-neoplastins. So that if you're one of the people who is diagnosed within this next year, and it's likely that you or someone you know or love will be diagnosed, because cancer will be the biggest killer next year. That's the new stat in the world. Don't you want to know that there are other options? That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, you do such a great job of saying it, you know. And your foreword in your wonderful book was written by Julian Whitaker,
yes,
MD, and quote, conventional medicine's approach to cancer prevention and treatment is a debilitating, often deadly fraud. And she goes on to say, the underlying issue is that the entire cancer treatment industry has been following a faulty paradigm for close to 100 years. And Suzanne, I want to thank you for helping people to make this huge paradigm shift in the way they think about treating cancer.
Well, the two times that I have been diagnosed, one first time accurately, second time, it's a horrible misdiagnosis. Both times I was offered as the only protocol, surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, and then harsh aftercare drugs. Thank God I'm this kind of patient, because on day two in the hospital in November, which turned out to be a horrible allergic reaction to I don't know what, even at this point I still don't know what, which read like cancer that had metastasized throughout my entire body on the CAT scan. And I was confirmed by the oncologist and reconfirmed by five other doctors, so a total of six doctors. And all I was offered as the protocol was, we can start you on full body chemotherapy today. And I looked at this man and I said, just so you know where I'm coming from, I would rather die. Because I know enough about chemotherapy to know that outside of the three that I mentioned earlier, the three cancers that do respond to chemo, it's not working. All three doctors in my book, Gonzalez, Brzezinski, Dr. Blaylock, and then confirmed by Ralph Moss, a PhD science writer, said that we all know in the oncology world that chemotherapy does nothing whatsoever for pancreatic cancer, which begged the question from me, then why would they give it to patients? And the answer, independently, all of them said to me, it's palliative, meaning that it makes the patient feel that something's being done. Mm-hmm. It makes the family feel that something's being done. And when the patient dies, everybody feels they've done the best they could, which they have, because that's all the information that they were given. But that it's ineffective. It doesn't work for pancreatic cancer, and it costs about $500,000 to die of chemotherapy in this country. I think you have to factor that in, not in a sinister way. I don't think there are bad doctors out there, gleefully rubbing their hands together. But it's just a fact that chemo is big business.
Yeah, and you have a section in your book titled The Chemotherapy Racket, and that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And yeah, you're right. They're not standing there going, woo-hoo-hoo, we're going to get money, but they're just so entrenched in the system, I don't even know if they're seeing it. And it seems like they're so close-minded. You mentioned in our last interview, I had asked a question about, are these mainstream doctors open to what you're saying? And you said no, emphatically.
No.
No.
And when you look at it from the perspective of an oncologist, I get it. They go to school for many, many, many years, essentially to learn to administer these poisonous drugs. That's what they learn as oncologists. So if we are all to figure out that these chemicals aren't doing the job, what do they do with all that knowledge? So they're going to fight this to the end. And I know this doesn't make me very popular with oncologists, but it's our lives are at stake. Cancer is an epidemic. And I will tell you in a second, I asked one of the doctors how we get cancer, and so I now realize it's not an invisible enemy. We're very much in control of getting it or not getting it. But because it's such an epidemic, and because people don't really understand what you have to do to not get cancer, it's stealing our lives, our finances, it ravages families, it brings such sadness. What if? Like Dr. Gonzalez's patient, that you give cancer what it wants, according to him. And I said, what does it want? He said, it wants good nutrition. It wants a body that has no chemicals in it. It wants a detox body. He said, I give the pancreas a rest when a patient has cancer, and I augment with pancreatic enzymes, initially a lot of them, 100 to 300 of them a day. These patients are taking this willingly. He said, I detox their livers and their gallbladders with nutrient flushes and drinking a cup of olive oil every night for the first couple of weeks, coffee enemas. And you know, people like to make fun of him and laugh at him. And I stand back and I go, if I have cancer, I don't care what the treatment is, as long as I get well. And I asked Dr. Gonzalez, do you cure cancer? He said, I wouldn't use the word cure. He said, I manage cancer. He said, frankly, my patients manage cancer. He said, a diabetic knows if a diabetic avoids sugar and takes insulin or whatever that diabetic's personal protocol is, that they can live for 100 years because they're managing their diabetes. He said, in the same way, we manage cancer, and that's what we're doing by keeping the body nutritionally built up and detoxified. Then the cancer doesn't have a reason to grow a new self. In fact, he doesn't even require that you remove the tumor. He said, a lot of my patients just feel better getting the tumor out surgically. He said, but there's always the danger, you know, in removing a tumor that capsule will break and you can metastasize cancer by just the surgery itself. Mm. He said, so I don't require that they remove the tumor because, he said, I find that once we clean out that body, give it the right nutrition, detox it, that in many cases the tumor shrinks on its own or just stays put. It doesn't grow anymore, it just doesn't bother the person. He said, I have people with tumors in them for the last 18 years.
Wow.
So I found this very exciting. I was in the hospital in November for 6 days. I have an advantage right now that very few people have had, in that I was forced to see my death because I knew, and I said to my husband, I think on day 3 or 4, I said, you know, if I have lung cancer that is metastasized throughout my entire body, you know, I have a couple of months left, maybe only a couple of weeks, so we have to make plans. And normally my husband, who would go, nah, he just sort of shook his head in shock, and I started to make plans. Who would get what? How I was going to start the separation process with my children so that they could be prepared for a life without me. The same thing with my husband. It was about the saddest experience I've ever had. But 6 doctors, 6 days, even an optimistic person like me, who are you at some point to say they're all wrong?
Yeah.
They were, in the end, all wrong. But I lived in that valley of fear, in that darkness. And I see it now as a gift because I know what's important. I've had some great tests in the last couple of years. My house burned down. I sure learned that it's not about stuff. And I almost felt, I thought I was dying. And I had an epiphany in the hospital one night. I think it was on day 5. And my husband was in my little hospital bed with me, just holding me asleep. And my children were asleep at the foot of my bed, and I was awake. And this loudspeaker came on. And I looked around to see why they weren't waking up to hear it. And the loudspeaker said, as clear as day, "It's not who you are. It's not what you have. It's not what you do. It's only about who you love and who loves you." And in that moment, I felt a peace come over me that I thought, I want to live more than anything I've ever wanted in my whole life. But I know that I have more love than most people have in their lives. And I felt grateful for my life and for the opportunity to have them with me at that moment. So in retrospect, when I look back and to know that whatever that voice was, my higher self, God, I don't know. I take it as both of those things. I feel lucky. But had I been another kind of patient, had I taken that chemotherapy for a cancer I didn't have, that they wanted to start that day, I would probably be dead right now. So the message there is, just because you're told you have cancer doesn't mean you have cancer. You have time. They want to rush you into treatment immediately. Both times I've been diagnosed, it's right away. Let's start today. Don't rush. You have time. Check, and recheck. Look at other options. They're in the book Knockout. And then make a truly informed decision for yourself, because it's your life and nobody's going to care about your life as much as you.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, Suzanne, you have so many fans, and I actually got some emails of folks that wanted to ask you some questions.
Great.
And there's a woman, her name is Angie from Evansville, Indiana, and she said that 4 weeks ago she found out that she has stage 2B IDCEP plus breast cancer, and they found a tiny bit in one sentinel node, and that is causing a lot of problems for her. And they want to pull out all the standard treatments. She's reading Knockout right now along with a few other books. And she wanted to know, number one, was your breast cancer in your nodes? And also, what would you do if you were in her shoes? And she's scared to do chemo, but she's scared not to. She wants to watch her young children grow up. Her youngest is 7. So if you have any advice for Angie?
Well, I don't give advice. I'm not a doctor. But I can tell you what I would do were it me.
Sure.
I did not have it in my nodes, but I had a large tumor. And the chemo that they wanted to give me was adriamycin. I write about adriamycin in the chapter with Ralph Moss, the PhD science writer, very credible person. A report came out last year that adriamycin, which is the chemo given to breast cancer patients, they call it the red devil. It brings you to your knees. You lose your hair. It's horrible. Has been proven to be ineffective in 92% of the women to whom it's been given. The 8% for whom it does have an effect have a type of cancer called HER2-new. But now a new drug called Herceptin has come out that is more effective for HER2-new. So that means that adriamycin is ineffective. Yet, as we speak, $20 billion worth of this drug is being prescribed, even after this report came out. So she needs to know that.
Okay.
If it were me, I would go to it depends on, you know, what she can deal with. If she can't grasp only going alternative, then I would go to Dr. Forsythe in Nevada. Dr. Forsythe is an oncologist. He's also got his naturopathic and homeopathic licenses. And I said, why? And he said, so I can build my patients up nutritionally. I said, can't you do that as an oncologist? He said, no, it's not allowed in the protocol, not even vitamin C. So what he does when you go to him, he sends your blood off immediately to Germany to get, who knew, a chemo sensitivity test to find out if there is a chemo that will fit with your kind of cancer. While he's waiting for that result to come back, he builds up that body nutritionally with IV nutrients, glutathione, vitamin C, gets that body so strong so that when the chemo fit comes back, if there is a fit, if there isn't, he does it nutritionally, he can give that patient the lowest dose of chemotherapy possible because their body is strong. He said they do very well. So that's if she can't wrap her arms around only going alternative. Were it me and I had breast cancer again, I would go down to Houston to Dr. Brzezinski.
Okay.
He's having great success with not only the worst brain tumors, but lung, liver, breast, prostate, and other cancers.
Okay.
But he mentioned those specifically in the book. Dr. Brzezinski escaped the Iron Curtain from Poland 30 years ago because they were discouraging the thinkers. He got out of that country with $50 in his pocket and his slides, because he had identified that people with cancer always, 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 not sometimes, always are missing a certain peptide, an amino acid in their liver that controls cell multiplication. He's devoted his life to replicating that peptide, that amino acid, in a synthetic form in the lab. He puts it back in the patient, usually in capsule form, very non-harsh, no side effects. And in many, many, many of the cases, the cancer just goes away. There are patient testimonials in Knockout who will talk about being on his treatment for many, many years. There's one girl I'm thinking of, Mary Jo Siegel, who is the biggest Brzezinski supporter, and she led the charge when they tried to put him in jail because he saved her life from stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma 18 years ago. She was had a death sentence. If it's a particularly virulent cancer, he might put a port in and a kind of a belly pack so that you just keep the medicine going in on an ongoing all-day basis. But for most people, he gives capsules. This is so extraordinary that this man has accomplished this and that he's been approved for phase 3 clinical trials in compliance with the FDA.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to Gonzalez, who also I have in Knockout breast cancer patients, stage 4 ovarian cancer. That's a death sentence. One woman I interviewed face-to-face personally, and I met with her in New York last week. She's been alive for 17 years under Dr. Gonzalez's protocol with stage 4 ovarian. That's a death sentence.
Yeah.
Nobody lives.
No, my
ovarian.
Mom died of that. It'll be 14 years this month, so...
So when you talk to this woman who's been alive for 17 years, who is full of pep and energy and not drugged up and mind working great because she's on perfect nutrition, she's detoxed, she's got strong bones, she's clear, she's 76 years old now, she has the energy of a 40-year-old, and there was another woman I interviewed last week in New York who had lung, liver, and anal cancer 12 years ago. She first went conventional. She had chemotherapy. Said she could no longer endure the torture, stopped the Western protocol, went to Dr. Gonzalez, and she has been managing her cancer in, as she says, perfect health for 12 years now. There's something going on out there that is so exciting. So for this woman who wrote in, before you make that decision, meet with these other doctors. Call them. They all have operators who can answer your questions. Just see what resonates, then make the decision that will make you feel the best about yourself.
Yeah. Well, Suzanne, I know Angie really appreciates that. Now, this is from...
And I wish her good luck.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. Kathy Garnier, she's from Deliberate Health of Fresno. She actually has like an alternative clinic there. She asked if you're aware of thermography for early detection of breast disease, such as cancer and unresolved pain issues. Have you heard of that?
Oh, I'm so glad she asked this question.
Oh, great.
I'm going to say something right now that is going to shock you.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
And again, when I
when I
say these things, it's not Suzanne Summers talking. It's according to the doctors I interviewed.
Okay.
Of course, I've heard of thermography and ultrasound, and to me, those are the first line of defense. Here's why I feel that. According to Dr. Russell Blaylock, renowned neurosurgeon, neuroscientist who stopped surgery after 26 years because he was seeing tumors so rare in people's brains. He said, at one point, I realized I had to devote the rest of my life to understanding the effects of chemicals on the human body. He said to me, and I made him repeat it to me 3 times, if I was a woman, I would never have a mammogram. It was said also to me by Ralph Moss, the science writer, of the amount of radiation buildup and what it does. Dr. Blaylock said, if a woman starts mammography at age 40 with no breast cancer, by the time she's 50, if she's had one every year, she will have increased her chances of getting breast cancer by 33%. He also, Ralph Moss, said the amount of radiation that accumulates over a 10-year period is equivalent to being at ground zero when they dropped the Hiroshima atom bomb. I said to Dr. Blaylock, then what are we to do? He said, well, first you get a thermogram, and if there's heat that registers, then you get an ultrasound, and if anything shows up on the ultrasound, he said, then you get an MRI. I said, we can't afford MRIs. They're expensive. He said, you can't afford MRIs if they are become the gold standard. I said, how did mammography become the gold standard? He said, all the hospitals and clinics invested in the technology, the National Cancer Society endorsed it, and now it's the gold standard. And yet, he said, not only is the radiation accumulation giving women cancer, he said, but if a woman has a tumor, the smashing and the crushing of the breast can crack that tumor and cause metastasis. He said, when I was in oncology school, we always were taught that the moment you palpate a woman's breast and you discover that there is a tumor, he said, you then no longer touch it. He said, because you don't want to risk breaking that tumor and metastasizing it. So here we are, all of us women who've gone through that. I make the same comment every year when I had my mammograms. As they were squishing my breast between those two plates, I would say, yep, if a man had to put his testicles in this, they would find another way.
That's so. That is for sure. And it's funny because I've had one because I'm 42, and I got my card a few weeks ago, and I've been so busy, and I think, oh, I got to make that appointment. Now I'm thinking, maybe I should try something else.
Don't take it from me. Read it in
Knockout. Yeah, I will.
But I, after... after interviewing Dr. Blaylock, who I respect him because he doesn't have an agenda. He doesn't care what he says because he no longer has a practice. See, practicing doctors have to really watch what they say because they can get shut down and lose their license. Dr. Blaylock is now strictly in research. So I trust what he says because he's without agenda. But when I start thinking about it, yes, isn't it radiation that gives us cancer? I certainly thought that every day when I lay on that radiation table when I had radiation for my breast cancer 10 years ago. I kept lying there thinking, I am lying here pumping my body with this radiation, and isn't it radiation that gives us cancer? So I hope that this helps women who are listening out there. It's scary not to get a mammogram, but from what I know, after talking to these doctors, my personal opinion is that it's scarier to get a mammogram. And believe me, I will be very, very unpopular for saying this. But if we start demanding MRIs of our insurance company because there's no radiation with MRI and you can see a clearer picture and there's no smashing of the breast, then maybe we can force the issue that MRIs become the gold standard.
Yeah, that would be great. Now, Suzanne, I had a question. I really loved all the doctors in your books, but I had a special affinity, for Dr. Steven Sinatra. Because I did bioenergetic psychotherapy, and I know he's a bioenergetic psychotherapist, and I swear by it. I mean, it changed my health. It changed my life. And I think the whole thing about crying, and I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I was just so inspired by that chapter.
Well, and he is coming to dinner Sunday night. I'm looking forward to this dinner party.
I'd rather have
this dinner party than dinner with the Queen.
Wow.
And I have had more response to Dr. Sinatra, and I will tell him you said this, because he said something so poignant. He said, if I can convince a patient they will get well, they will get well. Mm-hmm. He said, that is the power of the mind.
Yes.
And I, in my valley of fear in the hospital, when I thought and knew I was dying, the one little ray of hope, the one little thing that kept pulling me outside was, I said to my husband, I've been keeping a file on these doctors who are curing cancer. If I can get out of here, I want you to take me to one of them. And I held on to that notion that if I could just get out of this hospital, they will get me well. They will save my life. That was my power of belief. That allowed me to say no to that chemotherapy that ultimately turned out that I didn't need. If we have a couple of minutes,
sure.
I asked Dr. Brzezinski, how do we get cancer?
Yes.
And I think this is very important. He said it's very simple. We all have cancer in us. We all have cancer protective genes in us. They are like light switches that are turned on, but they get turned off by certain diet and lifestyle habits. I said, like what? He said, well, you turn off one switch by chemicals in your food and chemicals in your house. So clean out your house. You turn off another cancer protective switch by eating poor quality food. So switch to organic food if you can. He said, we turn off a switch by poor quality sleep, including sleeping pill sleep. He said, you have to learn to sleep. He said, you turn off a switch by not managing your stress. Stress is that much of a factor in turning off a cancer protective gene. He said, and you turn off a switch by imbalanced hormones, which I had been saying, you know, according to my doctors in my last four or five books. I said, well, that's pretty much everybody. He said, thus the epidemic. I said, can you turn them back on? He said, yes. You can get your hormones balanced with bioidentical hormones. If you get your hormones balanced, you will be able to manage your stress better because your adrenals will calm down. He said, if you manage your stress better and manage your balance your hormones, you'll be able to sleep because you'll get your cortisol down. He said, but also to take melatonin and GABA every night before you go to sleep, which is a substance that the body once made that stops after age 40. Plus, melatonin is a great antioxidant which will take care of any of the free radical damage from chemicals during the day. You can turn back on a switch by, at all costs, trying to either grow or consume organic food. And if you can't, take antioxidants before you go to bed after you've had a bad meal. And you can turn the switch on by cleaning out your cupboards and get rid of all the chemical cleaners in your house and switch over to green and make every choice. You buy a new mattress, buy an organic mattress. We sleep on those mattresses. The coverings made in the United States, the insides are made in third world countries, and they're covered, smothered in pesticides, and we're sleeping on that every night. So if you think of those five switches, then you understand it's not an invisible enemy. We're in control of not getting cancer. These are the changes you have to make in your life.
Wow. Now that is awesome. We have so much more. Suzanne, I got to have you come back again. Like I said, I have so many questions still from
fans.
Well,
let's do it again because writing this book, and I hope the people listening will hear what I'm saying right now, took away my fear of cancer. That fear no longer owns me. If you read Knockout, I believe you'll come to the same place that I am. I don't want to get it ever again. If I do, I know what to do and what doctor to go to and what protocol to follow for whatever particular cancer it is. That is very empowering.
Yes, it is. No, I feel the same way. I mean, especially because my mother passed away from it. My mother-in-law died in January from it. Mm-hmm. I was afraid. But reading your book, I think, wow, there's so many things that I can do. I don't have to go the conventional route. Now, obviously, I'm not going to crash your dinner party, but if you could, you're lucky I live in Massachusetts, right? Like driving around.
Or you might be
Suzanne,
just driving by.
Suzanne. No, but seriously, if you could mention itsyourhealthradio.org to the guests, because I would love to have all the doctors in your books on the show.
I will. I've got this right in front of
me. Oh, my gosh.
I'll put it at each of their place cards.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Oh, my gosh. That is so huge. I really appreciate it. And
okay.
I would, and any, like I said, if you want to have a segment anytime, I would, because there's so much more to talk about, the bioidentical hormones. I mean, you're just, we love you. I love you. It's wonderful. Have a wonderful dinner party. Actually, I want you to come back on to tell us all about that.
All right. You know how to get a hold of me. Just call me and I will do that. I love talking to you, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much, Suzanne. Well, you have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, tomorrow, we are having three awesome guests, starting with Burton Goldberg, the voice of alternative medicine, from 9:05 to 9:30, and he is in Suzanne Summers' book, Knockout. Todd Kashtan, PhD, the author of Curious, and David Sollers, acupuncturist and homeopath, and author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Acupuncture and Acupressure, and then Complete Idiot's Guide to Homeopathy. He is also the founder of First Health of Andover, so be sure to tune in. Everyone, have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye. And thank you so much to Jim Giddings, who allowed me this time today. He is wonderful. Listen to his show every Wednesday from...
noon.
Okay. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.